The Golden Age of Radio is on the air. Morehead State Public Radio presents classic old-time radio programs from radio's golden age, the 1930s through the 1950s. On this program of the Golden Age of Radio, Brian Donlevy stars as Agent Steve Mitchell on an episode of Dangerous Assignment, and baseball pitcher Dizzy Dean is the guest on the Bill Stern Show from 1949. Stay tuned for the Golden Age of Radio after today's news from NPR on WMKY and 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. Later on today's show, baseball pitcher Dizzy Dean is the guest on the Bill Stern Show from 1949. Right now, Brian Donlevy stars as Agent Steve Mitchell on an episode of Dangerous Assignment entitled Sunken Ships, as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
The National Broadcasting Company brings you Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell in Dangerous Assignment.
Over here. Here I am with the boat. Swim over this way. Here, let me help you, I bawled. Give me your hand.
Come on. Up, up.
You set the charge of nitroglycerin? Good. And no one saw you leave the ship? Ah, right on schedule. The ship goes to the bottom, and only the two of us know the location. And now... Wait. Wait, no. No, put down the knife. No, 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 no! Oh.
Three ships sunk in 2 weeks, Steve. And the last one cost the lives of six passengers.
But, Commissioner, why send me halfway around the world just because three ships were sunk?
Steve, those ships carried U.S. rehabilitation supplies.
I see.
Now, as usual, you'll pose as a foreign correspondent.
Here's your press credentials, Steve. Your passport and plane ticket.
Ruth, did you say plane ticket?
You take off in 2 hours.
Now, look, I was figuring on a little deal. Can't it wait till tomorrow?
No, it can't wait. And that's another thing, Steve. On this assignment, there's to be no women and no gambling. It's strictly business, dangerous business.
Okay, Commissioner.
All right, Steve. Your first stop in Saigon is the Malayan Star Lines. The manager's name is Brevon. You've got your assignment. Get going.
You've seen him in The Great McGinty, as Major Devereaux in Wake Island, as Trampas in The Virginian. Now, here is our star, Brian Donlevy, in another two-fisted portrayal as Steve Mitchell in Dangerous Assignment. The time, now. The place, Saigon, inscrutable city of the Orient, where the ancient and the modern rub elbows in the narrow, crowded streets. Saigon, city of intrigue, of shadows, of forgotten men, of danger.
Mr. Brevant, I believe you're in charge of the Malayan Star Lines here in Saigon.
That is correct, Monsieur...
Mitchell, Steve Mitchell. I'm a foreign correspondent. I just flew in. I'd like an interview.
There's not much of which to talk. Three ships of our line sail for Singapore. The first night out, an explosion, they're gone.
Just like that, huh?
Oui, just like that.
Could I take a look at the passenger list for those three ships?
Certainly. I have them on my desk.
Thank you. You don't carry many passengers.
Only a few.
Any survivors?
From the first sinking, none. From the third sinking, also none.
How about the second?
One.
Who is it?
An Englishman named Dixon, the cook.
Is he around anywhere? I'd like to talk to him.
Aran, tell the Englishman Dixon to come to my office.
Most of your crews have been with the line quite a while.
It is the exception rather than the rule, monsieur. Out here, one must take what men one can get.
I see. What kind of cargo were your ships carrying?
That is the mystifying part, monsieur. Here are the cargo lists. As you see, the Malayan Star Lines carry American rehabilitation supplies, teak wood, spices, rubber, the usual.
This teak wood, I notice all of it comes from the same place.
Yes, the plantation of Monsieur Surat. It is inland, up the Saigon River. Come in.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Brevant?
Oui, yes. This gentleman is Monsieur Mitchell, a journalist.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Hi. Mr. Brevant tells me you're the only survivor from the second sinking.
I'm the only one from any of them.
That makes you pretty lucky, doesn't it?
Lucky ain't off of it.
Look, did you notice anything unusual aboard your ship before the explosion?
Well, I was back aft, getting a breath of air before turning in, I was. And I noticed a silhouette of a small boat in the moonlight. Off our starboard beam, she was. And running without lights.
Without lights?
That's right.
Anything else?
I didn't have time to notice anything else, mister. Because just then there's a sheet of flame. The whole ship goes up in the air, and the next thing I know, I'm holding onto a spar in the water for dear life.
Mm-hmm. Have you any idea what your ship's position was when she went down?
Near as I can figure, we was in shoal water close to Polo Condori.
That is an island 100 miles off the coast of Indochina, monsieur. But of course, it is but a guess. We have no way of knowing the exact location.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the information. I think it ought to make a good yarn.
Do you intend to remain here in Saigon long?
Well, that depends. I'd like to talk to Mr. Surratt, the plantation owner. Do you know where I might find him?
There is a gambling casino just down the street, monsieur. If he is in Saigon, he will be there.
Good. I'm beginning to feel lucky.
I am certain you will not lack for games of chance in Saigon, monsieur. I personally find gambling a bore, but it would seem I am in the minority.
Yeah, I guess you are. Well, thanks for the story. I'll see you around.
He's an inquisitive gent, ain't he, Mr. Brevant?
Yes, he is indeed.
Newspaper chap, is he?
That is what he said. Dixon, tell Aran to answer my telephone for me. I'm going out for a while.
Even. Sorry, monsieur. You lose again.
Look, this game is slow death. Haven't you got something with a little more action in it?
And monsieur would perhaps prefer the dice table downstairs.
That's a thought. Thanks.
Oh!
I beg your pardon.
Oh, no, it is my fault, monsieur.
Let me pick up your chair.
Oh, you are most kind, monsieur. It was very clumsy of me.
As a matter of fact, I bumped into you deliberately. It was the only way I could think of to meet you.
Monsieur has a ready wit.
All bets down.
If you're looking for something to tack on after the monsieur, it's Mitchell, Steve Mitchell.
They call me Leanna, monsieur.
They picked a nice name. Well, here are your chips.
You pick up my chips and my luck with them. You must allow me to buy you a drink, huh? You see, I am superstitious.
Good, so am I. And having a drink with you is suddenly a superstition of mine.
Let us go to the bar.
Leanna.
Well, I should have known you wouldn't be alone.
It is only my brother, monsieur.
Oh, where are you going, Leanna?
It is all right, Matihiga. I am sure the American will take good care of me. Monsieur Steve Mitchell, my brother, Matique.
Hello.
Oh, your servant, Effendi.
Here, Matique, you play some of my chips now while we have our drink. Come along, Steve.
You live here in Saigon, Leanna?
For the most part. But I'm restless. I travel a lot. Tomorrow night, I leave for Singapore.
Oh? I guess my luck hasn't changed after all.
I will not be gone long.
How are you going to Singapore?
I travel by tramp steamer. It is not so boring.
Oh, not on the Malay Star Lines.
Why, yes. we are.
Sort of crowded right here. Why don't we move down to the other end?
There is room here. I will move over.
Oh, thank you.
No trouble, sir. No trouble at all.
What will you have, Stephen?
Bourbon and... Hey.
What is it?
I just saw someone I know, Leanna. Excuse me just a minute.
Of course.
Be back in a minute.
I will order the drinks.
Well, my dear.
He seems interested in the Malayan Star Line, sir.
You think he is involved?
It is possible.
Very well. I will proceed on that assumption. Boy, come here.
Oui, monsieur.
I want a message delivered for me.
Good evening, Mr. Brevant.
Huh? Oh, Monsieur Mitchell, is it not? Have you written your story yet?
Not yet. I'm a little surprised to see you here at the casino. When we talked this afternoon, you told me gambling bored you.
It does. But I do find interest in observing gamblers, monsieur. Particularly when high stakes are involved.
Oh?
Monsieur, I congratulate you on the speed with which you have made yourself acquainted in Saigon.
What do you mean?
Did I not observe you conversing at the bar with Surratt?
Surratt?
The stout gentleman.
You mean the guy who was standing next to me, the one with the face like a toad?
Your description does not flatter him, but it is accurate.
Hmm. Well, thanks, Laurent. I'll see you around.
Undoubtedly, monsieur.
I'm sorry I took so long, Leanna.
Oh, it is quite all right. Well, here is your drink.
Thanks. Say, what happened to the guy who was next to me here, the one who moved over to make room?
Huh? Oh, I did not know, Steve. I was not noticing.
Hmm. Surratt.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Well, cheers.
Cheers.
Monsieur Mitchell. Steve Mitchell.
Over here, boy.
You are a busy man, Steve.
I seem to be.
Monsieur Mitchell?
Yeah, what is it?
You are wanted outside, monsieur.
Oh? By whom?
Oh, he not give name, monsieur. But he say... quite urgent.
Okay. Here.
Oh, thank you, monsieur.
Leanna...
I know. You will be gone but a minute. Yes, I will wait for you.
Mitchell, effendi.
Who are you?
You are Steve Mitchell?
What do you want, a calling card? Yeah, I'm Steve Mitchell. I suppose you tell me why you got me out here.
I am Dalai. I suggest that we walk, effendi.
Oh, you always suggest with a gun, Dalai?
When it is necessary, effendi. Come.
Mind telling me where we're going?
Certainly not. Right around the corner here and into the alley.
Cozy in here.
And dark, effendi.
Wait a minute. Looks like we've got company in here.
It is but my friend Banjak, effendi.
Oh, hello. What's the matter? Is he bashful?
He cannot speak. His tongue was removed by force some years ago. But he is strong and willing. Banjak.
Why, you...
That reminder from Banjak will serve to open the conversation.
Look. I don't know what this is all about.
To be brief, effendi, you have information which I require. The locations of the three sunken ships.
The ships? You think I know where they were sunk?
Banjak.
Look!
Perhaps that will refresh your memory.
How can I tell you the location when I don't know
them? Again, Banjak.
I tell you, this wasn't going to do you any good. I don't know where those ships were sunk.
Very well. If you intend to be stubborn, you may proceed, Banjak. I told you not to resist.
Well, if you think I'm going to stand here and let this big ape make mince meat out of me...
Very well, effendi. It is a pity the effendi bleeds so easily, Banjak. But I must not deprive you of extended enjoyment. You may kick him. I will tell you when to stop.
The National Broadcasting Company is bringing you Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell in the second of an exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment. The time, the next morning. The place, a luxuriously furnished bedroom in a spacious villa near Saigon, overlooking the sea.
Oh. Ah. You are awake at last, Effendi.
If you can call it that. Well, hey, wait a minute. You're Liana's brother, aren't you?
Matik. Your servant, Effendi.
Look, would you mind telling me how I got into this harem?
You are in the house of my sister, Liana.
How did I get here?
Well, Liana became worried when you did not return to the casino last night. We went outside to look for you and found you crawling out of the alley badly beaten. So we brought you home with us. You are all bloody. How do you feel now?
All bloody? Hey, help me out of this mink-lined cradle, will you?
Oh, of course.
Where are my pants? Hey, wait a minute.
No. It was I who put you to bed. And here are your pants.
Thanks. Where's Liana?
Swimming in the ocean. Come, you can see her out the window.
Hey, she's quite a swimmer, isn't she? Does she always swim out that far?
Oh, yes. Every morning.
Well, I'm not that ambitious this morning, but a dip would do me good.
Quite a swimmer yourself.
Thanks. That water made me feel almost human again. Any cigarettes around here?
Right here in my robe. Here you are. You look much better than when we found you last night, Steve.
You know, you've taken awfully good care of me, Liana. Why?
Why? Oh, perhaps. Perhaps there have been so many places, many times, many men in my life. And with me, there's always been the same. But then last night, I saw you. And I knew you were something different.
How different?
Does that make your bruises feel better?
It helps, you know. That's a kind of medicine I could get addicted to, Liana.
Perhaps when I return from Singapore, there will be more time to become addicted.
Maybe. When do you sail?
At 8 tonight, on the Malayan Queen.
I guess my luck's still no good. Okay, look, I gotta go back to my hotel and pick up a change of clothes. But anyway, I'll be down to see you off tonight. Huh? Hey, how'd you get in here?
I'm Surratt. I learned you were registered at this hotel, so I took the liberty of waiting here in your room.
Quite the liberty, wasn't it?
When occasion demands it, the courtesies must be omitted.
What's the occasion?
I will be brief. Mr. Mitchell, I will assume you are a man who is interested in money.
That's a safe assumption, Surratt.
I believe you're in possession of certain information which is of value to me.
Here we go again.
Sir?
Look. You happen to know a couple of cutthroats named Dailai and Benjack? Benjack's a big lug with no tongue.
Dailai, Benjack? I have not had the pleasure of their acquaintance, sir.
Oh, it's no pleasure, believe me.
Sir?
I'll skip it. Now, what's this about certain information I have?
I will not waste words. $10,000 for the location of the sunken ships.
$10,000? Means a lot to you, doesn't it? You've been shipping teakwood on the Malayan Star Line, haven't you?
From my plantation up the river, sir. It is a matter of record.
I didn't know teakwood was that valuable.
I repeat my offer. 10,000 American dollars.
I'll have to have a little time to think it over, Surratt.
I cannot grant you much time, sir. I'm sailing tonight on the Malayan Queen. You have until 7:30 this evening.
Okay.
I will expect your answer before sailing time. Until then, good day, sir.
Malayan Starlines.
Mr. Bravant, please.
I am sorry, sir, but he's gone.
Gone?
Yes, sir, on a business trip. He is sailing in half an hour on the Malayan Queen.
Could you get word to him that... never mind, I'll call you back. Come in.
Mitchell.
Dixon, what's the matter?
A knife in my back.
What happened?
Malayan Queen, ready to sail.
Yeah, I know.
I saw someone go aboard that was on the other ship.
You mean the ship that was sunk?
Yes.
Who was it?
Followed me here and stabbed me.
Who stabbed you?
I...
Dixon! Dixon!
Sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Mitchell, but I don't leave the bridge until we're out of the channel.
That's okay, Captain. I'd like you to look at these credentials. They'll explain who I am and why I'm aboard your ship.
You're investigating the recent sinkings.
Yes, Captain. A couple of people seem awfully interested in the location of those sunken ships. I'm kicking an idea around that maybe there was something pretty valuable aboard them.
What would it be?
I don't know. Are you carrying the same sort of cargo on this ship that was on the others?
Yes, as far as I know.
Another shipment of teak wood from Surratt's plantation?
There is. Also some American rehabilitation supplies.
Tell me, could those rehabilitation supplies be salvaged after they were sunk?
Oh, no, no. The water had ruined them.
Captain, suppose you wanted to sink a ship and recover something from it later.
What?
Where would you sink it?
I suppose in shallow water.
Yeah. Now, what's the first shallow water we'll be passing through tonight?
Well, let's see. We'll pass through the Diablo Shoals a little after midnight. Depth there is only 15 fathoms.
I see. Is that the passenger list on your desk?
Yes. Here.
Yeah, looks like the gang's all here. Bravant, Liana, her brother Matik, and Surratt. Captain, I need your full cooperation.
Why, certainly. What is it?
I'd like you to order these four passengers to be in Bravant's stateroom 3 hours from now at 11 tonight.
Bravant, I demand an explanation of this, being hauled up to your cabin like a common criminal.
But, Monsieur Surratt, I am as much in the dark as you.
I do not think it necessary to point out that this may cost you my business, Bravant.
If you would only tell us the reason for all this, Effendi Bravant.
Matik, I am sure there must be a good reason for all this. If we are but patient, we will learn what it is.
Here is the man who is responsible, Monsieur Mitchell.
Steve!
Hello, Liana. Matik.
Your servant, Effendi.
Good evening, sir.
Surratt.
Apparently you forgot our appointment, Mr. Mitchell.
I didn't forget it. I had a couple of other things to take care of.
Perhaps, sir, you'll be good enough to explain what this is all about.
Sure, I'll explain. I'll make it short. I think one of you is responsible for the sinkings of those three ships.
You are joking, Steve.
Sorry, Liana.
But to suggest that I could have anything to do with it...
You're a good swimmer. I'm afraid I'll have to count you in.
Oh, it is so ridiculous to think that I or my brother could be involved in such a thing.
You make a serious charge against us, Effendi.
I know.
This is an insult to my long years of service on the line.
Perhaps it is a serious charge as far as the others are concerned, Mr. Mitchell. But to suspect that I am involved is ridiculous. Much valuable teak wood of mine was sunk with those ships.
Yeah. And maybe it's more valuable than I thought at first.
What do you mean by that, sir?
I'll let it ride for the time being, because I've got another piece of news for you. Of course, it isn't really news to one of you.
What do you mean, Steve?
There was a ship's cook named Dixon, survivor of one of the sinkings. Tonight, he saw one of you come aboard. He recognized you as being on that other ship. So whichever one of you it was, killed him to shut his mouth.
I assure you, this is the first of these ships I've been aboard, sir, and also the last.
One of you four is the killer. And dynamiter. That person has a bomb planted on this ship and plans to dive overboard before the explosion. And that explosion is due for about midnight, 45 minutes from now.
Steve, this is ridiculous.
Is it? Just keep your eyes on that clock, all of you. Nobody's going to leave this cabin for the next 45 minutes. We're going to sweat it out together, just watching that minute hand creep around to midnight. ...11:30. Anyone feel like talking yet?
Really, Mitchell?
Really, what,
Haven't Provence? You carried this silly joke far enough, Steve?
There is only one way to prove he is mistaken in his suspicions, Liana. That is to wait.
Can't we get a little air into this cabin? It's so infernally hot.
You know something, Surratt? It's going to get a lot hotter. Seven minutes to midnight. We reach shallow water in about 10 minutes... That means 10 minutes before the ship gets blown up. Anybody's tongue loosening up? Surratt?
I demand to be released from this pest hole.
Provence?
You must be insane.
Liana?
To think I once considered you...
Yeah, save the romance. Matik, how about you? You feel like talking?
When one knows nothing, one can say nothing, Effendi.
Okay, keep watching that minute hand, hmm?
10 minutes any longer. I've got to get out of here. You've got to let me go.
So you're the one, Surratt?
No. You must believe me. I would be the last one in the world to blow those ships up.
Why?
Surratt!
There's gold hidden in those crates of teak wood.
Surratt, you fool! He was only bluffing. Now you have told him!
You haven't told me enough. Keep talking.
I have nothing more to say.
Look, Surratt, 3 ships have been sunk on account of this. Now open up. Start talking.
No.
You better talk before I beat it out of you. Now spill it.
All right. During the war, an air raid. A ship carrying gold bullion steamed up the river to escape. But it was sunk near my plantation.
I think I can take it from there. You recovered the gold, and this is the way you've been sneaking it out of Indochina, huh? Hidden in crates of teakwood?
Yes, it was Liana's
Shut
idea.
Shut up, Surratt!
But someone must have found out about the gold and has been sinking the ships.
Yeah, in shallow water so they can get the gold later.
Effendi Mitchell, now that we know Surratt is guilty, you will please allow me to leave. I have a headache.
Mitchell, it is almost midnight.
Yeah, nobody's leaving until I find out who's mined this ship.
But Effendi Mitchell,
You keep looking at your watch, Matik. Why?
Matik, what is the Matik, you didn't. You did. You put the explosives on this ship, too. You were going to jump overboard and leave me here, you fool.
Where'd you plant it, Matik? Where did you plant it?
Let me out of here.
You're not going anywhere.
The nitroglycerin will explode in 2 minutes.
Matik, you sank those ships. You and Liana betrayed me. Very well.
Surratt, put that gun away.
Surratt! And for you, Liana.
Grab that gun, Provence.
Wait.
Matik, where's the nitroglycerin? Where is it? Surratt, you jughead. You killed the only man who knew where it was hidden. We've got 1 minute and 50 seconds to find that nitro. Genius. Any ideas, Provence?
Matik could not have put it below decks. Men are stationed all over the ship. It must be in this cabin. Come on.
Lock. Get back, Provence.
Wait.
Take that side of the room. I'll take this.
All right.
It's got to be in here somewhere. It's got to be.
There's nothing over here, Mitchell.
Wait a minute. Listen. There's something kicking.
Yes, I hear it.
Under the bunk. Look, that black suitcase. Easy.
Throw it overboard quick.
Yeah, I got to get out of the way, Provence. I got to get it over the rail.
Hurry, Mitchell, hurry. Only a few seconds more, it will explode. Throw it as far as you can.
You don't have to tell me that. Hit the deck.
Mitchell. Are you all right, Mitchell?
Yeah. Except that I'm about 5 years older, Captain. Whew. That was close.
Yeah, too close. Probably buckled a few of the ship's plates.
Yeah, well, you better put Surratt under arrest. You can turn him over to the authorities when the ship reaches port.
Yeah.
Chances of getting the gold that's already been sunk are pretty slim, but there's probably a lot of it still at Surratt's plantation. The government can check that.
Mitchell, allow me to say I have never seen one so calm in the face of danger. All the time we were waiting in my cabin after I realized what your plan was, my heart was in my throat.
You think mine wasn't? It was choking me. Look at me, Provence. I look like a fairly intelligent guy, don't I?
Well, yes, of course.
With a normal assortment of brains.
Certainly.
And a reasonable amount of common sense.
But of course.
And will you tell me something?
What is it?
Why did I ever get myself mixed up in a job like this?
You have just heard the second in an exciting new adventure series, Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell. Dangerous Assignment is written by Bob Reif and directed by Bill Karn, with music by Bruce Ashley. Be with us again next week at this same time when Brian Donlevy, starring as Steve Mitchell, will embark on another Dangerous Assignment. This program came to you from Hollywood. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
You're listening to the Golden Age of Radio with an episode of Dangerous Assignment starring Brian Donlevy as Agent Steve Mitchell. Stay tuned for more classic old-time radio from the 1930s through the 1950s. When the Golden Age of Radio continues on Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY at 90.3 FM. Welcome back to the Golden Age of Radio on WMKY at 90.3 FM. In a moment, baseball pitcher Dizzy Dean is Bill Stern's guest from 1949. But first, here's vocalist Sam Butera with Dig That Crazy Chick from 1958 as WMKY presents the Golden Age of Radio.
Today, won't you listen to what I say? This story is about a chick. Man, what makes my baby so slick? I say, ooh, 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 man, dig those crazy lips. I say, ooh, 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 man, boy, she really flips. I say, ooh, 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 man, dig that crazy chick. I say, ooh, ooh, ooh. I say, ooh, 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 man, she's a real gown size. I say, ooh, 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 man, dig that crazy chick. Chick.
Excuse me, can you tell me where the Conleys live?
Yes, in the White House at the end of the block, on the right. But I'm not sure they're home.
Oh, we called them long distance. They're expecting us. Thank you.
A long-distance call to friends you plan to visit this summer makes good sense. It will save you driving miles and miles, then finding no one at home. Call ahead to make sure of reservations, too. Wherever you go, go first by long distance. Rates are low. Why not call now?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern with a Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel.
Colgate Shave Cream and Bill Stern is on the air. Colgate Shave Cream and Bill Stern with stories rare. Take Bill's advice and you'll look keen. You'll have a face both smooth and clean. Colgate Shave Cream and Bill Stern.
The 512th edition of the Colgate Shave Cream Sports Newsreel, featuring America's most famous collector of yarns and stories. Some legends, some hearsay, but all so interesting, we'd like to pass them along to you. And to do this, here is radio's number one sports reporter, Bill Stern. Hello, everybody. First, I want to thank all the great stars. Bill Powell, Frank Sinatra, Pat O'Brien, Ronnie Regan, Tex and Jinx. All of you, pinch it for me while I was away. You did a wonderful job, and I'm deeply grateful to every one of you. Our guest tonight is one of the greatest baseball players of all time, Dizzy Dean. But before you meet Dizzy Dean, here is Real One. For courage and determination, no sports star tops Lou Brissy, the sensational young pitcher for the Philadelphia Athletics. Although forced to wear a heavy brace to support his left leg, which was shattered by a shell burst during the war, Lou has become, in just two seasons, one of the leading pitchers in the major leagues. Lou Brissy has licked his shaving problem, too. He's a brush and lather man, like many of you, and he chooses Colgate Lather Shaving Cream, and here's what he writes.
Dear Bill, my whiskers are plenty tough and used to give me some rough innings with the razor, but Colgate Lather Shaving Cream gets them so soft, so fast, my razor shaves me close and clean the first time over, not a trace of pull or scrape. You call Colgate Lather the shave cream of champions, but in my book, it's the champion lather cream for comfortable shaves that are always slick and smooth. Thanks for tipping me off to this perfect answer to the old stubble trouble.
And thank you, Lou Brissy. I know every man will agree when he tries Colgate Lather Shaving Cream, and here's why. Colgate Lather is light, and it's fine textured. It completely surrounds and softens each bristle. Yes, sir, that rich, stay-moist lather supports the whiskers so your razor doesn't pull or skid. Instead, it cuts through clean and smooth. It leaves your face feeling cool and relaxed. So try it, men. For really clean, cool, comfortable shaves, get Colgate Lather Shaving Cream, the lather shave cream of champions. Reel 2, Portrait of the Strangest Fight on Record. We've told you many strange stories about boxing, but this story of boxing is unlike any that you've ever heard before. Every word of this story is true. Yeah, it's so incredible that you may find it hard to believe. So listen then, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to the strange story of what might be the most amazing fight of all time. This fight took place back in the year of 1912, when the lightweight champion of the world was a rough, tough fighter named Ad Wolgast. Ad Wolgast, who battled his way to the top by beating all opposition to become the world's champion. That is, Ad Wolgast had beaten everybody but one man. That one man was another great fighter, a Mexican named Joe Rivers. That's why when these two fighters finally did meet, the eyes of the entire sporting world were on Ad Wolgast as he prepared to defend his title against Mexican Joe Rivers. The fight took place on July the 4th of 1912, and for the first 12 rounds, the crowd saw the dirtiest, the most vicious fight that's ever been fought. Then came the 13th round. The 13th round with a lightweight championship of the world at stake. And suddenly it happened. Both fighters lashed out with vicious rights at the same time. Each man struck the other man right on the chin at the same instant. Each fighter dropped down to the canvas. It was a double knockout. Both Ad Wolgast and Joe Rivers were knocked out cold at the same moment. It was the only double knockout ever scored in a world championship fight. However, that's not the end of this story. For exactly 11 years later, in 1923, had you been in the receiving room of a Los Angeles hospital one evening, you would have seen brought into that hospital the former lightweight champion of the world, Ad Wolgast. A few seconds later, another man was brought into the same hospital room. This second man was Mexican Joe Rivers. so, 11 years after these two men had wound up on their backs, stretched out side by side in a championship fight, these same two men were again on their backs, stretched out side by side, this time in a hospital. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's still more to this absolutely true story. This and Mexican Joe Rivers met once again. For this year, Joe Rivers came to see Ad Wolgast. Yeah. This year, Joe Rivers did come to see Ad Wolgast, even though now, Ad Wolgast, the former lightweight champion of the world, is in an insane asylum. Reel 3, Profile of a Strange Man. This is the story of a man who was born in Lucas, Arkansas. This man was also born in Holden, Oklahoma. This man was also born in Bond, Mississippi. How can one man be born in three different states? Ladies and gentlemen, I do not know. But this man says that he was. So then, let's listen to the incredible story of a strange man who says he was born in three different states. He began his baseball career in the Western Association. In Houston, Texas, he fell in love with a pretty girl. He asked her to marry him in one of the strangest proposals of marriage ever made. For he said,
"Honey, what do you say we get married in a baseball park at home plate?"
"I'll marry you all right, but not at home plate."
Next, he joined the St. Louis Cardinals. With those St. Louis Cardinals, he became the most famous pitcher in baseball. Then, as fast as this young pitcher had come up, he went down just as fast. Ladies and gentlemen, everything I told you about this man actually did happen. His name was Dizzy Dean. And here he is, speaking in person, the most famous baseball pitcher of yesteryear, the immortal Dizzy Dean.
Good evening, Bill, and good evening, folks. I ain't a ball player anymore. I ain't a baseball broadcaster either. But I used to be, and a good one. What if I did say he slid into third? He was throwed out anyway. Besides, where did folks get off criticizing my grammar? Shucks, I only went to the second grade, and if I'd have gone up to the third, I'd have passed my old man. I guess you wonder how I was born in three different places, like Bill just said I was. Well, one day, three newspaper men came to me and asked me where I was born. I didn't want to have them all print the same story, so I told one I was born in Arkansas, another I was born in Mississippi, and the third I was born in Oklahoma. I ain't so sure about my birthday either. I always thought it was January the 16th, but my dad says it was August the 22nd. But I figure I ought to know best, since I was the one who was being born. But getting back to broadcasting, I like working in a broadcasting booth. You know what a broadcasting booth is. That's a hog pen with Venetian blinds. You ought to know, Bill. You've been in plenty.
You're so right, Diz. And thanks so much. Good luck and good night, Dizzy Dean. I'll be back in just a moment with a strange story of a dead man. But first, here's Reel 4, Bob Warren.
Good brush and lather shaves depend upon two things, good blades and good shaving cream. If your blades satisfy but your shaves don't, mister, you try Colgate Lather Shaving Cream. You'll see, Colgate Lather takes the roughness and irritation out of shaving, gives you the smooth, cool, comfortable shaves you're after. Right, Bill?
It sure does. Colgate Lather Shaving Cream has a light, fine texture that gets down to the base of your whiskers, and it stays rich and moist on your face. It doesn't dry out. The result is, your razor doesn't drag or pull. Instead, it cuts through clean and smooth, and you get a slick shave, a cool shave that leaves your face happy all day long. Champions in every sport have discovered Colgate Lather Shaving Cream, so why don't you?
Right, for shaving comfort, shaving smoothness, use the right cream, the light cream. Buy Colgate Lather Shaving Cream, the lather shave of champions.
Reel 5, Portrait of a Dead Man. That's what I said. This is the story of a dead man. But wait a minute. Let's go back and begin this story at the beginning. For this dead man was once a boy. An Italian boy who'd been born in a little town in Italy. And like most little boys, he was athletic. Only this Italian boy was a good athlete. When he was very young, he took up the sport of fencing. And he soon became an expert fencer. However, there's another side to the life of this young Italian athlete. For as a youngster, he was always getting himself into trouble. In fact, he got himself into so much trouble that finally, in desperation, his parents paid his passage to the United States to keep him from disgracing the family name. And so this young Italian boy left Italy, and he came to America. When he landed in New York City, he was broke. So broke that he had to take a job as a dishwasher. But even in New York, he still managed to get himself into trouble. This time, he got in trouble with the New York police. However, he was not put in jail. No. He wasn't put in jail. For he finally had made up his mind to keep out of trouble. That is, he made up his mind to keep out of trouble after his girlfriend had told him...
Look, will you listen to me? Why can't you behave yourself? Why must you always be in trouble? I'm getting sick of hearing about all the fights you get into. If you're such a great fighter, why don't you fight professionally? At least you'd get paid for it that way.
Okay. So he'd be a boxer. And he did become a boxer, a good boxer. So good that he held his own with such great fighters as Jack Dempsey and Gene Tunney. However, this young Italian did not make boxing his career. Even though he could have been a great boxer. For strange as it seems, this man, who could have been a great boxer, loved to write poetry. And he wrote good poetry, too. For it was this rough, tough prize fighter who wrote the following lines.
That beloved blossom, a baby's face, seems to be love's resting place. And a million kisses tenderly linger there in ecstasy.
Yeah. A rough, tough prize fighter wrote those beautiful lines. But he gained no fame as a poet, nor did he gain fame as a prize fighter. But he did make a living as a dancer. That is, he made a living as a dancer until one day when he went broke in San Francisco. And because he was broke in San Francisco, he went to a friend for help, a friend who gave him help. For this friend bought this young Italian a railroad ticket to Los Angeles. And it was in Los Angeles that he got his big break. For a short time afterwards, this young Italian was making $1 million a year. That's right. He was making $1 million a year. But not as a boxer and not as a poet. No, in Los Angeles, he became the greatest lover that the screen has ever known. For you see, this former Italian boxer and poet was Rudolph Valentino.
I'm the Sheik of Araby.
That's the incredible story of Rudolph Valentino. But maybe you'd like to know the name of Rudolph Valentino's friend. That friend who got him that railroad ticket from San Francisco to Los Angeles. The friend who enabled Rudolph Valentino to get his big break. That friend was famous then, and he's still more famous today. Yeah, he is famous. For this man who was responsible for giving Rudolph Valentino his first big break was Al Jolson. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the 3-0 mark for tonight. Next Friday night, we'll be back same time, same stations, when our guest will be the famous baseball star Jackie Robinson. See you then. Until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the News of the Day newsreels at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now, till next Friday night at this very same time, this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good, good night.
Colgate Apri Mandel Stern is on the air. Colgate Apri Mandel Stern with stories rare. Take Bill's advice and you'll look keen. You'll have a face both smooth and clean. Colgate Apri Mandel Bill Stern. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
At last, a good-tasting way to help prevent tooth decay. That's new Colgate Ammoniated Tooth Powder. Created in Colgate's research laboratory, contains the revolutionary dental discovery that helps prevent new cavities, plus Colgate's exclusive foamy cleaning action and a refreshing minty flavor you'll enjoy. Get Colgate Ammoniated Tooth Powder today. Economical 4-ounce size, only 43 cents. Who'll make the 1949 All-American football team? Read Bill Stern's preseason choice in the September issue of Sport Magazine on your newsstand today. Bill reveals inside tips on the football greats of the coming season that every fan should know. Read them in Sport, the outstanding picture and story magazine about champions in every field of sport. September issue, out today. Portions of the Bill Stern Show tonight were transcribed and came to you from New York.
This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
Yippee-yay, there'll be no wedding bells.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle, as I go riding merrily along. And they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single? And that song ain't so very far from wrong. Oh, Lily Bell, oh, Lily Bell, though I may have done some fooling, this is why I never fell. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle, as I go riding merrily along. And they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single? And that song ain't so very far from wrong. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle,
that jingle,
as I go riding merrily,
as I go riding merrily,
and they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Oh, ain't you glad?
And that song ain't so very far from wrong.
That song ain't so very far.
Oh, Sally Jane, oh, Sally Jane, though I'd love to stay forever, this is why I can't remain. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle,
that jingle, jangle,
as I go riding merrily,
as I go riding merrily,
and they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Oh, ain't you glad?
And that song ain't so very far from
wrong. That song ain't so very far.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jangle,
that jingle, jangle,
as I go riding merrily,
as I go riding merrily,
and they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Oh, ain't you?
And that song ain't so very far from wrong.
And that song ain't so very.
Oh, Mary Ann,
oh, Mary Ann,
oh, Mary Ann,
oh, Mary Ann,
though we've done some moonlight walking, this is why I up and ran. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle,
that jingle,
as I go riding merrily,
as I go riding merrily,
and they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Oh, ain't you?
And that song ain't so very far from wrong.
And that song ain't so very far.
And that song ain't so very far from wrong. So I'll jingle, jangle, jingle all along.
The Golden Age of Radio on WMKY, Gene Autry with Jingle, Jangle, Jingle from 1942. We also heard The Bill Stern Show, first broadcast on radio on August 19th, 1949. This has been the Golden Age of Radio, classic old-time radio programs from the 1930s through the 1950s. Material for this program provided by the Internet Archive, an online nonprofit library of books, movies, music, and old-time radio shows, on the web at archive.org. Tune in again for the Golden Age of Radio next week at the same time and channel on WMKY at 90.3 FM and online at WMKY.org.